Ask Catherine a lot of great questions this week. Okay, one from Bob. Great call on the gold-silver knockdown. I guess I had said that that was probable that it would happen. The Fed Treasury says the dollar would fade over 10 years in 809, J.P. Morgan being long in gold and silver, and short silver, but speculatively speaking insolvent, and the Angus Fleer retracing into North America. What is your opinion of the future of the dollar? I think the dollar in the short term is strong, although I will say that the current events on Syria are not good for the dollar. The president having the rug pulled out from under him by various allies and the military, et cetera, that kind of sort of political flop is short-term bad for the dollar, as we saw it drop this morning. But I think put that aside. I think the dollar is strong from now, but part of the pressure of getting everybody into the central banking system is there's no doubt they want to centralize and re-engineer the currencies. And that has been slower going than I think the leadership wanted. In terms of the Anglosphere retrenching into North America, I think the Anglosphere is retrenching into the English-speaking nations. And if you want to learn more about that, definitely listen to the interview with Dr. Farrell. We watched the emerging markets start to turn up this week and commodities start to turn up. Let's see how they continue to trade, because I think the pullback of capital from the emerging markets is a process that's going to continue into 2014, and let's see how tough it gets in 2014 when the bond market, when interest rates start to turn up. Because when interest rates start to turn up, I think it's going to hit the emerging markets much harder. Big question is how far and fast they go. And then, of course, how far and fast we can get the crash up in the equity markets to happen, which I think is the leadership's goal. Again, if the gold and silver knockdown get down to the summer bottoms, I do believe, you know, very good chance we're going to see the primary trend reassert by the end of the year. But, you know, let's see what happens. Look to November and March to tell us the story. And Franklin and I talk a lot more about it in the interview. Okay, Catherine, I'm a big fan. This is from Steve. I'm a big fan of your intelligent, creative, and open-minded presentation on life in the Matrix. Question for you and Franklin, what events will precipitate an end to the paper manipulation of the precious metals market, i.e. the spot price? The huge paper gold dump that dropped the price below 1500 last April is a good example. Which event will most likely set the PM prices free of the paper manipulation? When will simple market fundamentals like physical supply and demand return as the major determinant of the price of gold and silver? Will PM dealers be able to break free of the future spot price rigging, COMEX default, fractional reserve banking collapse and bank runs, stock market crash, extreme PM physical shortages, backwardation, world dollar dump, any of these or something else? I think that managing the precious metals prices is a critical component of the governance system. So I don't see that changing. Once the governance system manages in re-engineering the global currency, particularly if they're able to create sort of a digital reserve currency or a one world currency, the process of managing could sort of quiet down and you'll see less shenanigans. That's possible if we see a war break out and the plans for a global governance system fall apart. We could also see a return to something much more organic and market-like. But I think the notion that we're going to have one of these events, like a big bang event, cause the governance system to lose control and return to markets, I don't think that's the right frame on the situation, because I think the precious metals market has been managed for a long time, and it's a critical part of the entire governance system. And that's why I keep saying, you know, the most important question is who's really running things? How does that system work, and how do we evolve it into a governance system that makes sense? So this is a bigger conversation about who's running the planet. But I think this notion that we're any one of these things could happen and it's going to break the precious metals market free is just not the right way to look at the story. From Maryland, according to Wall Street Journal, HUD has told Westchester County in New York that their local zoning regulations do not allow for enough diversity, and HUD will define what regulations the local counties must use in developing their communities, such as the limits on size, type, height, and density of buildings and diversity. What is HUD up to, and where do they get their authority to usurp the local community's desires regarding their right to define their neighborhoods? Is taking away property rights the next step in forcing each family to live in a community and house, HUD determines. Since most of the deeds to mortgages are held by Boston Federal Bank, will they have the power to distribute these deeds as they determine? I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure what they meant by that. If you go back on the blog, it was about a year ago, I posted a link to the new proposal from HUD as to their ability as a regulatory matter to simply micromanage everybody in this way. It's truly one of the most frightening proposals I've ever seen come out of government. It's, you know, it makes the Soviet Union look like a market economy. What is this about? If you take this and combine it with Agenda 21 and combine it with things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, you're basically looking at a situation where you're creating the ability of the federal government, large investors to come into a community and basically drive everybody into the ground with rules and regulations. So it's part of squeezing down in the legacy economy. It's part of maintaining very tight control at the top. What the sort of specifics and inside baseball on this piece is, I don't know, but it's HUD is planning on, if you look at their pronouncement of about a year ago, they're planning on doing this or reserving the right to do this everywhere. It's pretty scary. Hi, Catherine. And this is a comment from the blog on the documentary the review I posted of the documentary on called Moon Rising. Very interesting documentary, which I encourage you to watch. And they asked if I would check out someone named Wal Thornhill and consider him for the Salieri Report. So we will definitely take a look. Thank you for that. That was from Jacques. Megan, well, we could just go galactic and say that our planet's undergoing a complete shift in consciousness, energy, and light, and that finally the truth is going to gain strength with every passing day. Maybe it's getting easier for people behind the scenes who are numbering more and more and who are in positions of power to protect those who come forward. Great comment, because, you know, there are so many people within the operations of companies and governments who are, you know, feel the way that we all do, that this is not an optimal way to run a planet. So we certainly want to encourage all of them to do the right thing and be allies. So great comment from Megan. Finally, from Kathy, a question about idea about Ellen Brown sending a link of Ellen's latest article on the importance of getting all the different, or sort of the reasons behind the Syria squabble being to get all those countries into the central banking system. And a plug for Polyface Farm. Very good. Too late for Franklin's discussion, so maybe you and Chuck Gibson will touch on inflation expectations for early 2014 during the quarterly report. I will make every effort to do that. And let's see, that's it. Let me just check the webinar software. Ooh, more questions. Okay. Given the nature of the tapeworm economy and the desire of many of us not to be a part of it, what are your suggestions about the best ways to prepare for retirement? Oh, great question. You know something? I may just do a Salieri report on that. That's a great question, but I'm not going to do it tonight. I am going to try and one of the things I would encourage you to do is to listen to next week's Salieri report on crowdfunding. But great question. Thank you, Michael. Joan, you've talked about the black budget and how much of the scientific innovations created over the years are beginning to infiltrate society, such as 3D printers. How does the brilliant Elon Musk fit into this? What happens when you have a wave of technology coming out of the insiders or out of the black budget? What they will do is they will pick out really capable and brilliant entrepreneurs and promote them and encourage them to lead the idea discussion. Now, it's always interesting to watch this because many of those entrepreneurs have no idea how they're being positioned and why they have the wind at their back. They're usually pretty sincere people. I think Musk is a very talented guy, and he's got an enormous wind at his back in addition to being a very talented and capable guy. And because they would much rather have those people sell the ideas than they sell the ideas. Now, those ideas can be good or bad. So I think maglev trains and space travel are great ideas. Mark Zuckerberg promoting, you know, all of us getting in there and building the CIA and NSA files on ourselves and our friends, I don't think is such a great idea. You know, so I think that Google and Facebook and a lot of these things were basically promoted as one thing when in fact they're Trojan horses and they're really something else. So Musk is an example of, you know, a great entrepreneur who's leading things that they want to see promoted and be made fashionable. You know, but we also see other entrepreneurs leading things that they're making quite fashionable but are not necessarily, you know, such wonderful ideas. So I would say Musk definitely has a black budget wind at his back, but, you know, my guess is he's a pretty talented, capable entrepreneur. And if you look at the things he's promoting, I think they're things that, you know, I, for one, would love to see beautiful electric cars. And I think PayPal is a great service. And I think his SpaceX is a great idea. And I think maglev trains are a great idea. So, you know, so the important thing to always ask about an entrepreneur or an idea is, does it have a positive total economic return or does it have a negative one? So I think that's kind of how I do the take.